Open the April 16, 2015 meeting of the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. This is the AM meeting that we're in. We are convened. We're going to be having a night hearing as well today. We have had a number of challenges. The process is working faster than sometimes people can keep up with. I know that we're going really fast when we get amendments to bills that are entirely different with the same dash number amended to it. So even LC can't keep up with us. So we're going to work around that today. And I'm going to, we have a very busy agenda. And the first bill that we're going to open on is House Bill 3434. And Mr. Gallagher, can you tell us very briefly what that bill is?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3434 appropriates monies to the State Department of Agriculture for the biennium beginning July 1, 2015 to administer performance of pesticide analytical and response center duties.
Thank you very much. Committee members, we cannot do anything with this bill at this time. We may have just-in-time fiscals and paperwork on this, but at this moment, we cannot move it. And with that, I'm going to ask up Representative Leininger, please.
Good morning,
Chair. Good morning.
Witt and members of the committee. Thank you for letting me say a couple brief words. I'm here really to express my appreciation for the hard work that has gone into trying to find a path forward on aerial pesticides. And when I was growing up in Southern Oregon, I played a lot of basketball, because that was one of the things you could do, right, in Southern Oregon. So I played a lot of basketball. One thing the coach used to always say to the team is move toward the ball. You know, and some people do it by instinct because they want to help shape what's happening, and some people don't because they're uncertain or it's dangerous. And that's really the situation that we have had here. You know, when you, Chair Witt, decided to form a work group, when Chair Edwards on the Senate side decided to form a work group, you know, we're in an uncertain situation. It's a hot potato. It's a dangerous situation. But you move toward the ball. And I don't feel great about where we ended up. I think we've got work to do on getting good buffers and notice and access to information. But what I do feel good about is that since we're kind of at the beginning of this conversation, that we have a group of people who are willing to move toward the ball and have a robust conversation and put in tons of extra time at the end of long days, and who also understand that even though we see this issue differently and maybe what has to happen next differently, that we're all on the same team and that we're all trying to do what's good for Oregonians. And so, you know, here in the first quarter or the first 5 minutes or whatever, I just want to say thank you to all of you, because you're that kind of colleagues, and we're going to get something good done, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so very, very much. Committee members, anything for our colleague? We certainly appreciate your very gracious comments. Representative Frederick.
No, actually, I was pointing over here.
Representative McEwen.
Oh, Chair Witt, yes. I just wanted to thank the representative for coming forward today. This has been a long process, and it's taken a lot of people pulling on an oar to get us to this point, and I want to publicly thank Chair Witt for his work in pulling a group together and having a very focused agenda in getting us to where we are now. It didn't go without a lot of effort, and it didn't go unnoticed, so thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And Representative Barreto, I wasn't sure whether you were raising your hand or not.
I was not. Thank
okay.
You.
Thank you very much. Representative Leininger, thank you. We appreciate that. At this time, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3434, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill, a public hearing on House Bill 3539. Mr. Gallagher?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3539 designates the fourth week in April each year as Oregon Oyster Week.
Thank you very much.
Make some comments on that.
Representative McEwen?
Thank you, Chair Witt. I thought we might have Representative Gomberg in the room, since he is co-sponsoring this bill, but I think he doesn't seem to be here, so I will take the reins. This is a partner bill to the Shellfish Initiative bill that passed out of this committee a few week or so ago. All it does is honor our oyster growers, our shellfish producers in the state, by acknowledging the third week of April as Oyster Week for the state of Oregon. It's a very simple bill, a lot of enthusiasm behind it for this particular industry, and I hope I can count on your support to move this bill forward.
Wonderful. Thank you very, very much.
Let's go eat some oysters.
Absolutely. Hold on, folks, here just a second.
Oh, here he is, Chair Witt.
Representative Gomberg, welcome, sir. Your appearance is just in time.
Just in time. Well, I'll be very brief with you,
welcome.
Mr. Chair. If I'm not mistaken, Representative Gomberg from House District 10 on the Central Oregon Coast. Did Representative McEwen just finish up?
Yes.
Very
she did.
Briefly.
Well, I'm sure she
Please
did
embellish.
Oh, there she is. If oysters had wings, I would be her wingman. I'm here to repeat everything that she said, but since she said it, I don't need to say it again.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That's the kind of testimony that is critically important at this point.
Thank you, Representative.
Mr. Chairman, the rule of this building is normally that everything's been said, but not everybody said it. In this case, it's already been said. I won't need to say it again.
Wonderful. Any questions or comments for our colleague? I'm seeing none. Thank you very much, Representative Gomberg. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3539. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3539. Committee members, we've heard lengthy testimony on this bill, innumerable witnesses, and it's come to time to vote. Any questions or comments? I'm going to recognize Vice Chair Krieger, please.
Chairman, I move House Bill 3539 to the floor for due pass recommendation.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Krieger. Moves House Bill 3539 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on his motion? Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barreto.
Aye.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Frederick.
Yes.
Representative Gorsuch.
Yes.
Representative McEwen.
Aye.
Representative Woodset.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain.
Aye.
Chair Witt.
Aye. Having received the majority, the motion passes. And Representative McEwen, would you like to carry this bill?
I would be delighted to co-carry this bill with Representative Gomberg if he is so willing.
Wonderful. Thank you both very much. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3539. All right.
I'll give you a curve.
Filing system under the desk. There we go. All right.
We've got another work session. That's 3533.
Okay. Going to open a work session on House Bill 3533. Mr. Gallagher?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3533 specifies that certain state forest land may be sold as provided by resolution by the state land board.
Very, very good. Let's see. Representative McEwen, while I'm shuffling paper here, is there anything that you would like to say about this bill?
I'm sorry. Which bill are we on?
3533, the state forest land may be sold.
Oh, this is at the request of the director of the Division of State Lands, and I believe originally the concept came from the land board. It clarifies some language in statute that would help eliminate some litigation should sale of state forest land be a possibility, whether it's for conservation or for industrial forest use. It clarifies some language from a number of decades ago that the land board and DSL has asked us to take care of for them.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Do we have anyone from the public signed up for this one? Not seeing anyone. Last and final call for public comment on House Bill 3533. Once, twice. So all right. I'm going to close the excuse me.
Oh, we're just in a work session, so we can go right to this.
Okay. Very good. I'm going to Since there's no further questions, I'm going to recognize Representative Barreto.
I don't remember having a hearing on it. Did we have a hearing on this bill? And I just had some concerns just reading what the measure does. Just allows for the sale of specified state forest lands, but no real criteria here. And so I'm just a.
Is there somebody from the division from DSM here? Mr. Paul is here. Chair Witt.
No, we didn't. Okay, Representative Barreto, we're simply going to send this one down to rules today.
Oh,
so
okay.
And if there's no one who wishes to testify on it, with that,
I make a comment.
Okay, Vice Chair Krieger, please.
I think we need to be thinking about why we're even having the conversation, because the environmental for-profit industry continues to sue and not allow us to manage those lands. If we do it with this, are we going to move this over to all state forest land in a few years? That will be setting a bill down, allow us to sell state forest land that was county trust lands. I think we have to be very, very careful what we're doing. I go along with this for the present because it says may sell, not that thing. And they're talking about litigation, trying to stop it. So I understand that.
And unfortunately, there's vastly too much litigation oftentimes today. And as Vice Chair Krieger has pointed out, at least in my viewpoint, it's intended to frustrate many activities, in this instance states' activities surrounding its ability to even sell land that it owns. So with that, Representative Gorsuch.
I just wanted to echo what Representative Krieger said. Certainly environmental protection is important, but when we get to the point where nothing can be done on state and federal lands, we're doing a disservice to the state of Oregon, to the voters, to the citizens. And I would call on environmental groups and in forest industry groups, everybody, to try and come together and find a way that we can move forward without having to do things as drastic as selling off parts of state forest land. It's quite frustrating, and I generally tend to err on the environmental side, but this is just to the point where nothing can be done in these places. And by the way, keep in mind, the Elliott Forest, which is what we're talking about in the background here, is for the state school fund, and we still can't do anything with it. So it's a really tragic situation. We really need some important dialogue to go on and try and move this forward without litigation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am concerned about the sale and how things have been working. I am pleased with what we've seen on the east side regarding the collaboration that we've managed to get, mm-hmm. Private and state. The issue right now on the east side is primarily the federal situation. I am concerned about this particular thing because, in my view, quite frankly, folks do not necessarily bring suits just because they want to bring suits. And that can be that's a rhetorical thing that I think some folks would like to see. Because it doesn't want to really look at why people have this mistrust of how we have handled some forest issues in the past. So I think that it's important for us to keep that in mind as we look at this. And it's going down to rules. I'm glad to see that. I think it would be good to have much more dialogue about this. So thank you.
Vice Chair McLean.
Well, I support this bill going to rules, and I support the language in the bill because I think it does three items. I think, number one, it cleans up some language that is older, that has not been reviewed, and also has not been updated. I think it also helps us with a conversation on the school fund and making sure that the land board can actually do their job there. And I think it also helps us with good management of forests. And good management of forests means that you actually get in and have a conversation about what the best practices are, and specifically how we don't just have to continue
to buy insurance to fight forest fires, because we've got to manage forests, and managing forests means that there will be some harvest at some time on some parts of it. Not all of it, not habitat, but we've all got to be able to take care of the forest as well as our environmental issues. And I support doing both.
Thank you. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that the real situation, the 800-pound gorilla in the room here, is the fact that the federal government has passed legislation to allow environmental groups to sue the taxpayer and make money at it. And as long as we allow that, this will continue to go on forever. And when you bill the government for $400-$500 an hour and you're paying an attorney $80 to $120 an hour, that's a profit. So until we rectify that situation on a federal level, we're going to have these situations forever.
Thank you very much. Anything further? I'm going to recognize Vice Chair Krieger, please.
Chairman, I move House Bill 3533 without recommendation to the House Committee on Rules.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves House Bill 3533 without recommendation to the House Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion on his motion? Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barreto.
Aye.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Frederick.
Yes.
Representative Gorsuch.
Yes.
Representative McEwen.
Aye.
Representative Woodson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain.
Aye.
Chair Whitt.
Aye. Motion passes, and the bill is on its way to the Committee on Rules. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3533, and folks, just wait here just a second.
Mr. Chair, you look like you have your hands full.
Just about 10 more pieces of paper, Representative, and I know exactly what I'm doing. Here we go. All right. And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2668. Mr. Gallagher.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill was carried over from our last hearing. We have the paperwork on it necessary to move it to the Rules Committee. House Bill 2668, repeal statutes requiring industrial hemp growers and handlers to be licensed by the State Department of Agriculture. And there is a -1 amendment that we can adopt and move that amendment along with the bill to the Rules Committee.
Okay, very good. Who's bringing that amendment forward?
The bill is Representative Buckley's bill. It's his amendment.
Okay. Can we have a little information on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the proposed -1 amendment requires city or county governing body to designate within their comprehensive plan areas zoned for the growing of industrial hemp, as well as areas for production of marijuana. It requires zoning for production of industrial hemp be located at least 5 miles from areas for production of marijuana. It requires the cities and counties to notify the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, the Oregon Health Authority, and the Oregon Department of Agriculture of those designations. It prohibits certain governing bodies from zoning any area for production of industrial hemp.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We don't want our industrial hemp moving in with our top quality marijuana, so we make sure that doesn't happen.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative.
Is there a threat also with canola and hemp?
We are not going to allow this.
Brassica,
sorry,
representative. It's not a brassica.
Representative Esquivel.
Sorry, sorry, Mr. Chair.
We are not going to allow this.
You really couldn't help yourself.
It just seemed relevant to me.
Mr. Chair, should we be amending this since we're sending it down to rules, or should we just punt the ball, let them amend it?
Well, Representative, it's certainly something that we can amend here. If you'd like to do that, we could punt it if that's the committee's preference. But I, for one, would sleep better tonight knowing that we have pure strains of marijuana in this state. So, Vice Chair McLean.
Well, I think that the Rules Committee is going to be really busy, and yeah. I think that if we can do this one little item for them, this has had a lot of vetting in the other committee, and so I think we're part of the process, and I think we should feel comfortable with that.
Very good. Vice Chair Krieger, you have a question, sir.
Yeah, Section 4 says that the governing bodies of Douglas, Joseph, and Jackson counties may not designate areas. Why would they?
Why would you
pick those counties out?
Because they grow
probably
all
the best crop growing area.
Right, it is.
They left Curry County out.
We have a great crop.
That would have been my suspicion, Vice Chair.
Well, anyway,
so
fine.
Anyone else? All right. Well, in the interests of pure pot here, I'm going to recognize Vice Chair Krieger.
Chairman, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment stated 4-8-15.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 4-8-15 to House Bill 2668. Is there any discussion on this motion? Representative Whitsitt, please.
Have we received input from those counties that are going to be denied input into this until January 1st, 2021? Have we actually talked to the commissioners of Douglas, Josephine, and Jackson counties? I mean, I think this is really important if we're going to
preemption.
Specifically take them out, and I mean, I have a problem with that.
Okay. We have we've heard no comments. At least I have not. Mr. Gallagher, any anything from the public on this? Or the county commission in particular?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Might have been something in the other committee.
Yeah, I think that may have been in the other committee.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure.
Yeah, and neither do I. This will have there will be additional opportunities as this is moving to another committee. So I suspect that if the bill's ahead of public comment, folks will catch up when it's down in rules. So anything further? All right. Any opposition to Vice Chair Krieger's amendment?
I am a no for the specific reason. I don't even know if the county commissioners in these counties know about this. So just for me, I'm a no on this amendment.
Okay. Would the clerk?
Chair, I'll also be a no.
Okay. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barreto.
No.
Representative Esquivel.
No.
Representative Frederick.
Yes.
Representative Gorsuch.
Yes.
Representative McEwen.
Aye.
Representative Woodset.
No.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Vice Chair McLean.
Aye.
Chair Whitt.
Aye. Having received the majority, the motion is adopted. Vice Chair Krieger, again, please, sir.
Chair, when I move House Bill 2668 as amended and without recommendation to the House Committee on Rules.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves House Bill 2668, excuse me, as amended and without recommendation to the House Committee on Rules. Is there discussion on his motion? Representative Krieger, do you?
Yeah, I want to discuss my own motion.
Please do.
I just like to have staff maybe track, get us a little information about those counties, mm-hmm. and then get it back to us in case we want to make a comment on the bill when it's down in rules.
Okay. Mr. Krieger, are you fine with that? Of Mr. Krieger.
Mr. Krieger's
fine. Yes, Mr. Gallagher. I'm sorry.
On the mister.
We're fine with that. Okay. With that, are we ready for a motion? Vice Chair Krieger.
I gave you the motion.
He made the motion. Excuse me. I'm sorry. No further discussion. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barreto.
Aye.
Representative Hessel.
Aye.
Representative Frederick.
Yes.
Representative Gorsuch.
Yes.
Representative McEwen.
Yes.
Representative Whitsett.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain.
Aye.
Chair Whit.
Aye. Motion passes, and the bill is on its way to the Committee on Rules. I am going to close the work session on House Bill 2668. Elaborate filing system here.
Can we stand at ease just for a second?
Okay. I'd like to stand at ease for a moment, please. Open a work session on House Bill 2984. Call up, please, Representative Parrish. Good morning.
Good morning. I feel like I'm a member of your committee and not my own that I'm not in right now. For the record, Julie Parrish, House District 37, Westland to Wallaton, bringing you back. House Bill 2984, the Clackamas County Urban Pilot Program for Forestry, and with a dash, and I don't even remember what number we're on at this point, but with the amendment I promised you, the dash 4, which now incorporates the dash 2s, which, if you recall, the dash 2s were the stuff that the Forest Department wanted and the language that the Department of Justice wanted. That's now in the dash 4, so scrap dash 2s. The dash 4 also includes the commitment I made to this committee earlier this week that we would limit this program to Clackamas County only, that we would limit it to cities who want to be in and who could do, if the city had made a vote to be in, that they could do residential, commercial, non-profit land. Limits this to, if a city does not want to be in, that governmental, other governments with their own elected governing board could make that choice so that we can get the scale that we're looking for, and discuss the piece that if you were a Clackamas property and then you somehow get annexed into a city, that those people have surety. So that's what the dash fours do. I believe the League of Cities is here. I'm not sure exactly at this point where they're at, but I feel like we have made multiple concessions so that we can get this thing off of the ground. I know that there's not fiscals ready for this yet, but we're ready to go.
Okay. We do actually, Mr. Gallagher, have a fiscal at this point, yes, no?
No, because the amendments came in last night.
We
just put them down, so it'll be Tuesday before we have those back.
Okay, so there's nothing to go on this bill. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2984. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2985. Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Chair Witt. I am still Representative Parrish from House District 37. We are bringing you the dash 5s of House Bill 2985. Would like to invite, if you don't mind, the League of Cities to get their feedback on where they're at on this. Again, the amendments do what I just described in House Bill 2984, which is provide all of the language that was in the dash 3s for 2985 is now in the dash 5s. That language included that there was the language that the Department of Forestry is interested in, the language that the Department of Justice is in, the commitment that I made before this committee a few days ago that we would bring an amendment that is limits this whole thing just to Clackamas County, that just to cities who want to be in the pilot can do residential, nonprofit, and commercial properties in addition to government properties, and excludes residential, nonprofit, and government, or excuse me, residential, nonprofit, and commercial in cities where cities have elected to not have a co-op, but that those other governmental lands with their own duly elected bodies can make that decision to be in the co-op while we're doing the pilot. I will also say that both of them, I failed to mention in 2984, but in 2985, sunsets that at 5 years. So there is that sunset in there as well. So everything I've committed is there.
Thank you. Ms. Rutten, I had heard screams of anguish out of every city hall this side of 217 the other day. I'd ask that we find middle ground so that all the who's in Whoville are nonplussed by this bill. Are we there yet?
Tara Witt, members of the committee. For the record, Tracy Retton with League of Oregon Cities. As much as I wish the Who's in Whoville were feeling confident, they are still, particularly those Who's that are in Clackamas County, quite frankly, have been in contact with Representative Parrish. I know several mayors that still have a lot of questions. And I think, you know, we've seen the language, but again, only as of last night, we still have some questions, unfortunately, that remain. In terms of the sunset itself, to me, the language seems to indicate that the sunset would apply essentially where it would have a Clackamas County for the first 5 years. I'm not sure that it fully sunsets the program after that. We're still looking at how that language would actually function and don't have a definition of what a government entity would include. So there's still just questions. I'll just say that for the record. We'd still like to be able to find a path forward. There are still some confused parties out there.
Thank you, Vice Chair McLean.
Tracy, the one thing that, I mean, I've looked at the concepts for the new amendments, and I tried to help with, you know, the first amendments for the cities, and I feel very strongly that the cities need to be involved. The language, though, for the first one, 2990, or is it 84? Basically, it's a pilot, mm-hmm. and it also has the cities involved in the development. And so have you talked to the cities about the fact that there's, you know, much more dialogue to be had because the program is not even developed yet? Right. It's the concept that now the cities are there to help develop it, and also the language does say that they can opt in or they don't have to. So does that bring some security?
Chair Witt, Representative McLean, I think that the main concern that remains is the preemption language in that for a five-year pilot program where trees are going to need to be planted and then harvested much later than 5 years from today even, that doesn't provide any assurance. So we still think that there's room to improve upon this, perhaps look at IGAs as a form of having some greater assurance longer term. I think it's, again, just confusion to them, not quite understanding how the five-year preemption would work for trees that need to be planted for a longer period of time.
I have one more question.
Yeah, please.
So my understanding, since this is my first year in the building doing this officially, is that if we've gotten a pretty good amendment here in front of us, isn't there opportunity for more chances for amendment on the Senate side?
Mm-hmm. Chair Witt, Representative McLean, we would hope and have talked to Representative Parrish that she'd be open to conversations, further conversations, as this bill moves on its way. So not just that in the pilot program to figure those things out, but actually working on this further through the legislative session.
Vice Chair McLean.
Well, then final comment, because I mean, I feel like people have been really trying to work hard to get this up and going. And when we talked to folks and had our first public hearing, there were a lot of folks that really were excited about the opportunity to really utilize this type of an urban, you know, type of forestry opportunity to really get some ideas out there on how to use the wood that's out there not being used, or maybe helping make it so that jurisdictions don't have to pay to have the wood, you know, taken away or made into firewood. And so I really do support that concept. And so I hope that you folks will keep talking and that we get the paperwork in for the fiscal and that we can move forward.
I thank you, Vice Chair McLean. I share your concern. As someone who has a name on this bill, I'm afraid that there are mayors in Washington County that wanted to make me into firewood yesterday. So.
And Chair Witt, Washington County's not in the pilot, so you're okay. I will take the beatings for you in Clackamas County.
I heard many screams of anguish.
Yes. Yes. And Chair Witt, to that point, there's confusion because misinformation, maybe not from the league, but from others, went out. And that sort of spun folks up. And I appreciate that that happens in this process all the time. Nobody woke up this morning or any morning in this process and said, how do we burn cities down to the ground? That was not ever part of the conversation, or log them to in perpetuity or infinity. So we are open to continuing the conversation on the Senate side. We do need as much flexibility as we can to get in and put trees in and take trees out and not have people be upset about them, even in that 5 years. There are two pit stops back to the legislature. In 2017, House Bill 2984, which I know is not the bill we're discussing, does say that we have to have a turnkey, here's how you do this in your community. That means that where we've included and had always intended for people to, and as many people as you want, to sit at the table and come to the advisory board, that you can get all of those things about how do you do intergovernmental agreements. But if it's hinged on, you have to have the intergovernmental agreement to start. You can't even get trees into the ground to start doing the actual work of how do you map them and how do you code them and how do you get them into the system. So
thank you, Representative Parrish.
We're willing to keep working.
I have one lingering concern that I'd be able to walk into Cabela's and not see my image as a target in the archery range. So
that's a different bill, Chair Witt. That's a different bill.
With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2985.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
So, here's the entities and chat about that.
I think we can do that. We're off the record momentarily.
Right.
Oh, we ever see.
But now you have to say it again. You might
say, oh, I'm sorry. We're back on the record, and I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2182. Committee members, as you all know, and some of you have been very involved, we've had a number of sub-work groups.
Senator Roblin.
2182, is that what we're doing?
I just wanted to make you aware. Okay. He was sitting in the back and we couldn't see him. He was hiding from us.
2182.
Okay. Thank you. Senator, are you here for this bill? Or?
No, there's two others. But I can run over to my committee and come get
you. Okay. All right. We'll do that. We'll make sure that we get you on. Thank you very much. I'm going to, I'd just like to make a couple of comments. We've had sub-work groups working on recommendations to the Department of Fish and Wildlife and how we may be able to overcome a downward spiral that has been expressed several times before this committee this session, that opportunities that folks would like to have a field have been diminishing, and as a result we've seen efforts to increase the fees on hunting licenses, fishing licenses, and tags, and that this is a never-ending downward spiral is the concern of many of us. It's been gratifying to have had so many people from the public step up and put in some very long hours and some excellent work trying to find some alternatives. And with that, I am going to recognize some of the folks that have been involved in these projects. And a preliminary report on some of the work that's been conducted. With that, I'd like to call up first, please, Stan Steele and Brett Brownscombe.
Are we on?
This is predator management.
Yeah.
2182.
This came out today and
I Okay. Welcome, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Witt, members of the committee. My name is Stan Steele. I'm representing the Oregon Outdoor Council and probably one of the finest sub-work groups that's been put together in this building. And we want to thank the committee for recognizing that when we have extremely controversial issues, bringing stakeholders together from diverse backgrounds, diverse values, oftentimes perspectives that just don't ever want to seem to come together, can come together. And I think this is a classic example in 2182. You know, there's folks out here in our greater community, the state of Oregon, that look at people that have nothing but a preservationist ideology or people that have a consumptive ideology as being the worlds apart. But quite frankly, when it comes to fish and wildlife and natural resource management, our common goal is the same. And so that's what this work group was able to accomplish. And Scott Beckstead and Dave Wiley, Joe Rolater, Al Elkins. I mean, and Brett from the department. I think we recognize that this is an issue we've been working on going on 5 years now, in a very large work group. We've had presentations to the governor, and resolution's been very difficult to come to, because one of the basic concepts that this subgroup came to is this. Predator management is always going to be controversial. There's no way around it. It's recognized worldwide that when we get into intense wildlife conflict or management conflict, there's going to be controversy. But we didn't want to let the controversy steer this ship, because we realize that for the greater good, we need to balance our management. So if you'll look, there's on the handout that I provided, there's four basic bullets that we, or five basic bullets that we worked on. But we didn't want to get deep into the weeds, such as let's identify certain techniques that might be ethical to some and unethical to others. We just wanted to come up with a general idea of what we want the department to be able to work on and achieve, which we feel will then coalesce with 496.012, which is our state wildlife management policy, and those co-equals. We call them the seven sisters. So I'm just going to read through it just for the people that are sitting behind us on the bullets. To fill its statutory responsibility, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife must holistically and in concert, and I think that's a very, very important position or part of this to understand, manage all fish and wildlife populations, including predator species. That all fish and wildlife must be managed in such a manner that protects, preserves, and provides optimal recreational opportunities, which include consumptive use. That predator management actions must be based on the best available science. Predator actions need to be implemented when the best available science determines that predation is a significant limiting factor in fish and wildlife populations not meeting management goals and objectives. The long-term goal to manage predator numbers at a level that allows for increased fish and wildlife harvest while maintaining viable predator populations. Why that last one is the key common denominator is what you, Chair Witt, indicated earlier. We recognize we have tremendous funding issues. Stabilizing those issues means that we're going to make sure that we stabilize the historic user base. And so, in closing, we feel that House Bill 2182 could actually be the scientific cornerstone. In other words, when we develop a policy that we can integrate with all of our current existing management plans, from sage-grouse recovery to non-game species management, that we will be more holistic and things can be working in concert. Once again, though, I want to praise this committee, specifically you, Chair Witt, for allowing a very diverse group of stakeholders to come together, and I think set up an extremely collaborative process that will benefit Oregonians.
Thank you very much.
Chair Witt, members of the committee, Brett Brownscombe, Acting Interim Deputy Director with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I also want to thank you, Chair Witt, for your leadership on this, as well as the other work groups whose reports are coming to this committee today. It has been a really remarkable and good experience, oftentimes on issues of controversy like predation. Just getting people to the table, to a common table, is an accomplishment. And this group went beyond that. It was really good to see that this kind of conversation. Needless to say, like Stan mentioned, rest assured, the world of predation is not without controversy, and we weren't able to remove all controversy from it. But we did make some strides, and I think from the department's end on speaking to the bill, on 2182, the bill would require the department to study developing a predator management plan and to report back to the legislature no later than September 15, 2016 on that effort. So the bill is very open-ended. That said, to prepare and write an actual predator management plan for the various species that predate on prey species would be and is a significant task. But that said, the bill as crafted requires Eddie and W to study how such plan would be developed, what the components would be, and bring that back to you. And that's something that we feel we can provide and achieve with minimal fiscal impact. A couple additional comments. Defining kind of the scope of what the department should be looking at in this predation plan study would be helpful on the part of the bill sponsors and the legislature, just to add clarity on the task ahead. One thing related to this is in ORS 610.002, predatory animals is defined to include feral swine, rodents, coyotes, rabbits, and it does not specifically include some of the predators that are specifically and frequently discussed in the predator-prey relationship context, as well as the species that were discussed at the work group, such as cougars, wolves, cormorants, sea lions. So our assumption is that the bill sponsors intend the bill and intend the department's work on this study to focus not on rabbits, not on feral swine, not on those species specifically defined in the predatory animal statute, but instead on predator-prey relationships that are more akin to those animals that predate on fish, elk, deer, and the like, the animals that I mentioned earlier. And so that is how the department would plan to proceed with the study. And given that there is some contrast between that and the term predator as defined in statute, we just wanted to clarify for the record that that is how the legislature and the bill sponsors intend us to proceed. So very thank good. You.
Questions or comments? For our panel members, gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure to see the not only your own leadership, but the willingness of the public to work on this. And I think our own the next panel that will be following you will be suggestive of the collaborative approach which all of you have undertaken. It's been quite remarkable. So thank you for your excellent work. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to make sure that we keep our eye on the ball when it comes to feral swine, because they're up to the Burns area now, is my understanding, and they're continuing north. They found them as far north as Michigan, so obviously they can withstand cold weather, but that's a devastating species when it comes to farming.
And Chair Witt and Representative Esquivel, if I may, maybe what I should have said, just to be clear, is you're right, absolutely, and as an invasive species, there are concerns around that animal, which is listed in the predatory animal statute. What I should have clarified is that the approach the department would intend to take, so long as, which we believe is consistent with the group and the bill and the bill sponsors, is that we wouldn't be limited to just the animals that are defined in the predatory animal statute, that we are talking about animals that include, you know, cougars, sea lions, cormorants, and the like, even though those animals aren't defined as part of the predatory animal statute.
Thank you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate your comments and all of your very good and hard work. With that, I'd like to call up, please, Scott Beckstead and Tom Wolfe. And is Lori Onan in the room? I've been looking. She's not. Okay. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Good morning. Chair Witt, members of the committee, for the record, Scott Beckstead, Senior Oregon Director and Western Regional Director for the Humane Society of the United States. I would echo what the two gentlemen before me said with respect to the endeavor by this committee to try and adopt a more collaborative approach to predator management. The issue of predators is obviously a subject of concern for the Humane Society of the United States. It's our position that predators are too often targeted with techniques and methods that are essentially inhumane. But we also understand that predator management is a reality, and we understand that people, good people, have to deal with predators, and that there are conflicts and there are controversies. It was pretty remarkable, this process, sitting in a room with representatives from the Oregon Hunters Association, Oregon Outdoor Council, and other groups that, you know, have not, to say the least, been historical allies on a lot of these issues. And, you know, sitting in that room, sometimes you kind of, that little children's song that runs through your head, one of these things is not like the other, one of these things just doesn't belong. But I never felt excluded. My views and my opinions were always welcomed and taken seriously, and I really appreciate that very much. And I know that the members and supporters of the Humane Society do as well. The Humane Society would like to see predator management start incorporating some humane ethics. We would like to see the use of non-lethal methods in addition to lethal methods whenever possible. And I think the group heard that. If our approach to predator management in Oregon is just going to be the old ways that involve poisons and traps and snares and aerial gunning and that kind of thing, then these battles are going to continue to happen, and they're very destructive battles that don't really help anyone. But as long as we can continue a conversation that is respectful both to each other and to the animals involved, I think there's a great deal of promise and a lot of reason for optimism moving forward. So thank you for the opportunity to serve on that work group. It was wonderful, and I see this as a conversation that absolutely should continue into the future.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Todd.
Morning. Chair Witt, committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolf, the executive director of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited. I, too, served on the predator management group, as I did on the other two work groups, and it was a good experience. I wasn't quite sure how it would go, because as Scott stated, there were groups there with entirely different philosophies. But Trout Unlimited supports HB 2182, and our main focus, of course, is predators that feed on fish, pinnipeds, Arctic terns, cormorants. There definitely needs to be a more cohesive management plan for those predators in the state. Trout Unlimited has been very active in management of cormorants back east on populations, and have even supported lethal methods, because we, unfortunately, sometimes lethal is the only option we have. Obviously, we'd like to support more humane methods, but we've created situations, you know, like dams on the Columbia and sand islands in the Columbia that attract species, and it's not their fault. They're just doing what seals and sea lions and birds do, but unfortunately, we have to look at ways to control those populations, because they're having a major impact on salmon runs in the Columbia River. So we think this is a good bill, and we support it, and my testimony's on O list if you want to see any more of my fascinating comments. Thank you for this time.
Thank you so very much. Committee members, any questions or comments? Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for your work and for your willingness. I understand that it may have been a bit difficult to throw yourselves into that committee initially, but you made the discussion and dialogue possible. You made it possible for us to begin investigating alternative means and methods, and I can't thank you enough. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard in the past couple of months how great it is for people to be talking who used to absolutely not even be able to be in the same room together, let alone have a discussion about some very challenging issues. It speaks highly of both of you and your organizations that you enabled that discussion to go forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for making me blush, Chair.
I'd like to call up next, please, Gil Riddell and Joe Rollator. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. For the record, Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon Counties. I would like to give just a little bit of background of funding and resources used in this area. We've been involved as AOC, as an organization, in long-term discussions of funding. We're very interested in a broad-based, stable funding source for these activities. This is exclusively a matter of state jurisdiction. It's a statewide issue. Nevertheless, counties have been keeping the ship afloat. For example, in biennium 2009-11, counties contributed $2.4 million statewide to wildlife, federal wildlife services, compared to the state's $340,000. That's seven times the state's provision of resources for a matter that is exclusively of state's jurisdiction. Fortunately, the state has rebounded its appropriation to some $932,000. We understand this is ultimately a matter of ways and means, and we've submitted testimony appropriately to the Natural Resources Subcommittee. But we asked them that they should at least adopt the governor's recommended budget of some $950,000, which would at least, compared to the county's role, mean that counties are carrying 2.5 times the amount of funding that the state is. For the long term, we encourage this bill. We will continue to participate. We have from the beginning. It's been years and years, and it would be nice to see this led by ODFW, and that we come to a conclusion that involves more stakeholders and a more stable funding base. Thank
you very much.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rollator. I represent both sports and commercial fishermen. I worked with Representative Krieger to draft this piece of legislation and asked you as a committee to introduce it. And several people have asked me, why did you write a bill that calls for a study of a study? And the reason I did is because this is, as you have heard from the previous testifiers, a very complicated issue. A number of us spent 3 years meeting monthly trying to write a prescriptive predator management plan for the state based on what other states that we know about have done. And it turned out to be a job that we simply couldn't handle. So we thought about it for a while and said, let's ask the department, direct the department to figure out what it would take to write a statewide management plan that would cover predators when they act as predators. We have management plans for individual species. They take all kinds of forms. We have a cougar management plan that's very prescriptive. We have a federal wild bird, migratory bird management plan that has a lot of different species in it. But we need to have a plan that takes care of what happens when one animal, like, for instance, my favorite bird, the cormorant, eats another animal, coho salmon, that are endangered. And they're limiting everybody that works in the basin. They're limiting their livelihoods because one species is eating another. So this is going to be a really tough job. I hope that ODF&W looks at what the existing science is, what it's going to take to get to science that they can base a statewide predator management plan on, that they talk to all parties involved, and they come back to this committee and say, okay, this is what we're going to need in order to come up with this plan that will cover all these species when they act as predators. And it'll probably involve ORS changes. It'll probably involve some staff. And so I think it'll be a big job, and I hope that the committee, I really appreciate the committee working on this with us folks that live out in the tule berries and deal with these things all the time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Joe, right back at you. It's been gratifying to see so many people from all walks of life step up in these sub-work groups to do this work. It has been absolutely amazing. I think there's something in the water this session. It's just been that great. So thank you for your work.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Bill 2182 at this point? Please come forward.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association.
Welcome.
Thank you for putting this group together. The words when we described it were remarkable, that we were all sitting at the same table together talking about predator management. I think what's good about this bill is something that Brett said. It will look at the interrelationships between all species, and I think that's very important. And we support the bill. We'd like to thank Mr. Steele for pulling this report out of the jaws of the committee and getting it before you. He did a remarkable job in putting it all together. So we thank him for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate that. With that, if there's no one else, I'm going to, before I close the hearing, folks, we just got a fiscal impact, the paperwork on this.
Oh, we do have it, yeah.
Okay, so what I would like to do, there's a trio of bills here, and I think I would like to hear them all, and actually for us to consider them as a package at the same time rather than breaking it up kind of bill by bill. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2182, and I'm going to open a public hearing. Before I do, is... Lori Annan here? Yeah, she is here. Okay, great. I think I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2402. Mr. Gallagher, could you tell us a little bit about this bill, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2402 establishes a task force on State Department of Fish and Wildlife funding, requires the task force to identify and recommend alternative funding sources and opportunities for Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, requires the task force to report to the Legislative Assembly within 30 days after the final meeting.
Thank you very much. And with that, I'd like to call up, please, Amanda Rich and Lori Annan. Good morning to both of you, and thank you so very much for being here.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Lori Annan with the Office of Governor Kate Brown, and I want to thank you for allowing me to testify today on this important bill. I just have a few remarks. First, starting out with thanking the chair for pulling together the work groups on ODFW. I know you've been hearing about that in your meetings, including the funding work group that has developed amendments to House Bill 2402. And I wanted to thank Representative Frederick for your staff's engagement in those work groups. Appreciate that. And, of course, thank all the various stakeholders who have worked really, really hard and done a great job in shaping this conversation. Oregonians and our fish, wildlife, and habitat need a stable ODFW to advance the public mission of protecting and enhancing these precious resources, as well as the ability of Oregonians to use and enjoy them. And as outlined in House Bill 2402, there is a need to look at new ways of doing business, new ways of broadening ODFW's funding base, and also ensuring that fees provided by hunters and anglers who are shouldering the vast majority of the funding support for the current work are used appropriately. The task force proposed by House Bill 2402 would tackle these issues, and it would do so based on the work of these work groups and the stakeholder involvement, and it would continue that involvement to really set the future direction of the agency and address these really important challenges. So I really urge your support for this bill to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Chair Witt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Amanda Rich, and I'm here representing the Nature Conservancy and have the privilege today of testifying in support of House Bill 2402 and also giving you a short report out from the revenue subgroup that of the groups that you've been hearing about this morning and that I have had the privilege of chairing over the last few weeks. So we do have an extremely diverse group of folks who have come together, I think, in an unprecedented way. You've heard that a few times this morning, but truly there is a level of trust and communication that we have developed in that group that I think you don't often see in this building. We set for ourselves a couple of goals, providing a forum in which to discuss the short-term goal of getting ODFW through this session with a balanced budget at the end of the session that included some general fund and also some form of a fee increase. And though we are aware that we can't hash out the details of that, it belongs in the hands of Ways and Means, we have tried to provide a safe place in which to have a conversation about that, and I think it has been helpful. And it has also helped us tease out some of the things that stakeholders really need out of ODFW and what they hope for in a pathway moving forward. And that is, we hope, you'll see reflected in House Bill 2402 and the set of amendments that we've been working on with as a subgroup and with Chair Witt and with the department and with the governor's office on. So we certainly hope that you will look favorably upon House Bill 2402 and move it forward. As a final note, this group so enjoys working together that they want to keep meeting. And we may continue to do that, to continue to provide that forum for discussing differences of opinion and see if there's a way that this group can provide support to perhaps if this task force becomes a reality, provide support to that task force or be supportive in other ways to this committee or to the department.
Thank you very much. And I suspect that the fact that you would continue to meet will be of invaluable service to that that task force. You mentioned that it's been unprecedented, some of the folks being able to get together and do the kind of work that that they have. It is and you mentioned the trust, and Amanda, it's your leadership that's helped bring that trust, so thank you so very much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's two things I think that I hope that we have an outcome on this. One is very simplistic. It was stated into this committee, I believe, this year, last year, I can't remember, they run together. But 60% of the time, our biologists are working for another entity. That's a simple fix, because all we have to do is backcharge that entity, whether it be a county, whether it be a different department. I mean, that's a simplistic fix. The other thing that I would like that's more of a challenge is to figure out how we can get everyone in the state of Oregon, 3.9 million people, to participate in supporting their wildlife. Now, that's a challenge. But, you know, the wildlife belongs to everyone in this state. So not just the people that hunt fish, but everyone.
Well put, Representative Esquivel, well put. Thank you. Vice Chair Krieger.
He could do a bill of a surcharge per head.
Anyone else?
He's killing me.
Thank you both very much, not only for your tremendous work, but for your leadership. It's been a great process. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to call up, please, Al Elkins, Tom Wolfe, and Brett Brownscombe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association. First of all, I want to thank Amanda for her leadership of this group. Without it, we would not be here today. And thank you, Chair Witt, for putting this work group together. There are a plethora of task force bills this session on both the House and the Senate. In our opinion, folks, this is the most important task force bill. This puts the stake in the future of a department that is probably, in our opinion, the most important agency in the state to preserve everything that's important to everybody that's in this room. So we support this bill wholeheartedly. We support the work group that will continue to meet and work on these issues, specifically, Mr. Chair, to Representative Esquivel's points. We have an amendment. The work group has drafted an amendment to the bill that addresses the two points that Representative Esquivel brought up, to look at services that are provided without reimbursement by the department and how to tap into the general population that we call wildlife watchers. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Chair Witt, members of the committee, Brett Brownscombe, acting interim deputy director with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I won't belabor the testimony and know that you have a lot to do today. I just wanted to echo the thanks to you, Chair Witt, for your leadership in pulling this work group and others together. Also, Representative Frederick, for your staff's engagement and your engagement, and others on this committee who I know have engaged as well, Representative Esquivel and others. The Task Force Bill 2402 is vitally important to the future of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and not just to the agency, but as renamed in the proposed amendments, vitally important to the interests of Argonians as citizens of the state in the health of our fish, wildlife, and the habitat that supports those resources and people who use them. We have a challenging short term before us, as everybody is fairly well aware, related to Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife's budget. This task force helps in that conversation by making sure that those who are critical to it, hopefully including those in the legislature, see that the long term that is represented through the task force and its direction on what it shall do will get us into a more sustainable place, will get us into a place of broader support and alternative revenue sources without casting anybody out of the family, broadening the family and those who support the agency. Because as Al has mentioned, and those that have previously and will follow this testimony, I would imagine, there are a lot of people who love Oregon's fish and wildlife and the habitat that supports them for a variety of different reasons. And it's always flattering and nice to hear how much interest there is from stakeholders as well as legislators around our Department of Fish and Wildlife and its public mission. Even when there are disagreements, there is the appreciation and the desire to see the agency and the mission do well, and that is very much appreciated, and would appreciate the support of the task force. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? I'm not seeing any. And gentlemen, the three sub-work groups, predator management, revenue, and habitat, are looking forward to the opportunity of informing the task force as we go forward. I think they have developed some tremendous recommendations.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Gallagher, I'm not aware of the paperwork is not in yet on this bill, 2402?
That's correct. We're still waiting for the fiscal on that.
Okay. Hopefully it'll be just-in-time product here before we adjourn for the day. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2402, and I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3529. Mr. Gallagher, can you tell us about this bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3529 establishes the Wildlife Public Education Advisory Council within the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. It requires the council to advise and make recommendations to the ODFW director regarding media-based public education. It establishes the Wildlife Public Education Fund, and it specifies the use of monies within that fund. It creates a surcharge of $1 on resident annual hunting and angling licenses, creates a surcharge of $2 on non-resident annual hunting and angling licenses, and it would become operative on January 1, 2016.
Thank you very much. Can we, does anyone know where Senator Roblin is at this point?
Okay.
Which room? He was in another hearing room. We have someone going to get him. Thank you. I appreciate that. With that, I'd like to call forward, please, Stan Steele. And I don't know if Tom Wolf has made it back from his other hearing room either. All right. Hopefully they'll both be on their way. Thank you. Good morning, sir. Welcome
morning.
Back again.
Good morning, Chair Witt. I think I'm still Stan Steele, committee members. We've dealt with a plethora of bills, as Mr. Elkins so eloquently stated. And I'm just going to come right out and say this is the most important bill that I've worked on in years, and guaranteed the most important bill for this session for me. Because this actually is the base concept of how we build strong acceptance of budgets for ODFW, stable funding, and educate Oregonians about the great opportunities that we have for recreation. Came across this several years ago when we were looking at how do we stabilize ODFW, how do we make it a better entity, how do we make it more far-reaching. And Pure Michigan popped up one day on the television screen. We were watching some football game. And I thought, what's Pure Michigan? Well, Pure Michigan was the most outstanding public relations campaign by the Michigan DNR. And so I immediately walked into my office and typed in Pure Michigan, and up started popping incredible news bites. And Chair Witt and members of the Habitat Committee actually got to witness a few of those last week in a presentation that I put on regarding this. So it's an outdoor education program. No, it's much larger than that. It's an Oregon-wide education program, something that we can organize. In 1998, Colorado passed this because they were facing similar predicaments that we were in, all kinds of funding situations and all kinds of litigation and just controversial issues. And because everybody was diverse, no one was focused. And so out of that came what's called the Nimrod Society. The Nimrod Society is a group of anglers, hunters, and conservation who said we can do better, but it has to start with education. Last year, 2014, Michigan passed their bill, and as we're speaking, Nevada is working on legislation doing the same thing. We would be really the fourth state that's actually identified the importance of public education. So as I don't want to take up a lot of time. I have incredible documents on this. We can show all kinds of great ads and what this thing can do. But we're going to talk about the surcharge just briefly. Immediately we're going to say, oh, no, not another surcharge. But you can't get a return if you don't make an investment. Bottom line, we don't invest in education, well, we can't educate. So Michigan is going to bring in $1.6 million this year for this public relations campaign. That is warmly received. Oregon, in our budget, for our PR budget, in ODFW, is $80,000 a biennium. Our great professionals are scientists. They're not human dimension experts. They're not PR experts. So what this bill does is allows us to establish an advisory council within the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Does not impact our public, our Pittman Robertson or Dingell Johnson funding allocation process. This is the road to recovery. We call it a game changer. So I haven't found anybody that's in opposition other than they're concerned about funding. But the concept is true. If we want to educate and get the deer out of the headlights, in other words, that's what the public feels when you start talking about who is ODFW. This is the road forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome, Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Chair Witt, and the rest of the committee. And for the record, my name is Arnie Roblin. I am a Senate District 5 representative that goes from Coos Bay and the bridge in Charleston to 3rd Street in Tillamook and over to Sheridan Fall City. So when Mr. Steele came and talked to me about this, I have been considering what we're doing. And when we look at the request for the increases in fees and stuff for the Fish and Wildlife, my issue is people need to know what they're doing and what we're buying and where we're going. One of the concerns that I've had is there's over 48% of the people who use our natural resources don't pay a fee to do that. They get it for free on the backs of hunters and fishermen. If you look at things like the fishing manual, where you can actually fish, you need to have a good education, because figuring out where you're standing and whether I can cast here is not an easy task sometimes on our rivers. Having a conversation about where we're going to do that and how we use our natural resources and how elk grow and what kinds of habitat they need, all of those things are really important for people. This is one of those bills, from my perspective, that actually starts having a conversation about the urban-rural divide. A lot of my kids that were at Marshfield High School understand this stuff, because every weekend they went, they didn't understand the fact that we couldn't have their rifles in the back of their truck, so they had to go home first to get it to go hunting, because in their lives, in their families' lives, they had the gun in the truck so they could go on the way home, because it was a long way to drive. Why would I go all the way home first? I mean, it is a totally different understanding in the rural areas about what this natural resource and this environment is and how they play in it and how they do their things in it. You know, we just did a thing for myself who passed away in our old neighborhood, and he had written a letter to our family about what it was to grow up in Coos Bay. And we had this natural area right behind us. It was all logged, and it was a wonderland for kids to go play in. And he wrote this little deal about the pond out back where they used to go and catch salamanders and other things. And we have this little plaque now there that says, you know, this is where I learned that you pick up a hand of dirt out here, and there's a whole world in that hand of dirt. And you play with it and you start to understand this is what home really is. And we need to start having that conversation with our people, that it's not a paved environment that makes life Oregonian. And in order to do that, in order to get people to be willing to pay their share, to get the Natural Resource Agency back up to a 3 or 4% of the general fund, they have to know why is that important. And it is essential for us to get to that point. And I want to, just in front of this committee, make sure that I acknowledge the person who really came up with this idea, and that's Mr. Steele. And so I have my Pez dispenser of the Man of Steel. And I'm going to give it to him. So he can have that to represent the efforts he's making to get other people to understand what it is to have an environment where hunting and fishing are recognized for the activities that they have been in our state and we would like to have continue. So thank you for the opportunity to talk to this committee.
Thank you very, very much. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, Senator, that when we go out in the wild, that's where we live in rural Oregon. Whereas urban Oregon, sometimes they just go visit that. I think that's the difference. We understand it because we live in it.
Yep. It is our home. It is what we...
That's what we are.
Right.
Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have been saying for quite a while that the disconnect between urban and rural has been severely, it's been severe, especially over the last several decades. I was lucky enough to talk with former Governor Tom McCall before he died, and he said that he was concerned because most of the folks in Portland no longer had relatives in the rest of the state, and that created a disconnect that was a familial disconnect. You might get upset with the with somebody from Coos Bay, but they were family, and you sat around the Thanksgiving table with them, and you knew what kind of work they did, and you went and visited them as they and saw what was going on there. That's no longer the case in Portland. It's also a disconnect in terms of the need for hunting and fishing. On my street, we used to have four or five people who, families, who would go off once a year and get elk, a deer. There's no one who hunts on my street now. I think there's only one guy I know who has a fly rod, and that's too bad. Actually, I need to get one as well, so we'll be trying to do something about that.
Yeah.
But the fact is that that disconnect has had a severe impact because, in many cases, the folks in the rural communities do not understand the kind of issues that are taking place in the urban communities, and the folks in the rural and the urban communities are, again, often do not feel that or think of the rest of the state as a park. It is not. It's also a message of respect. If you do not have a respect for the folks who are out there, then or the folks who are in the city, you're not really considering them as fellow human beings or fellow Oregonians. And we've got to try to figure out a way to reconnect there. I'm not convinced necessarily that we're going to have a new crop of folks who are going to be hunters and fishers. I just understand that. We are, however, going to, I hope, have a reconnection with people. This education thing will help. I think, and I'll put a plug in here, I think the outdoor school experience has a huge impact on that as well. But also just a physical and personal connection. In our tour of Eastern Oregon a year and a half ago, we had a lot of folks who wanted to have some kids from Portland. We already had some, but we had some kids from Portland and the metro area spend some time on the ranches and the farms that were out in Eastern Oregon, and they wanted to do that kind of thing. I'd like to have them spend some time on the coast, get a chance to fish, get a chance to see what's in that dirt and what's on the sand there. We don't have that. This, if we can begin this process in a very detailed and strong way, I'd be very pleased about it. And we also don't get reestablish the fact that, yes, you know, you have to have public relations. You have to have media in order to do this. It is not just a frill to have available. That's an important factor as well. So I'm very pleased to see this going on.
I want to say, you know, my youngest daughter is now working to become a playwright in New York. She's had some success. But if you talk to her about her childhood experience, I will tell you that one of her little experiences when she was like 3 or 4 years old was going out to Ten Mile Lake and catching a fish that I wish wasn't there, bluegill, but they're all over the place. And it's one of those things where it's not just fishing when you go after bluegill. You're catching, because you're going to catch these fish. And they're little teeny things, and they got a lot of bones, and they're not really the most fun fish. But I will tell you that was a highlight of her life. Mm-hmm. Putting that pole in there, all of a sudden there's something on there and reeling it in. You know, kids that haven't had that experience with their family or their grandparent or something mm-hmm. are missing a really important part of who we are as a human being and who we are as a state. And I hope, just like you're saying, that we can have those exchanges where those kids can have it. Because I will tell you, it is an exciting moment in their lives to know that they have the ability, you know, to provide for themselves if they really had to. In fishing and doing those kinds of things and understanding that whole field. So thank you for those comments, because I agree.
Chair Witt, yes. Representative Frederick, committee members. We have a program going on in Senator Roebelin's area at the fish hatchery up there where kids have actually named their salmon. They've
right.
actually came in, spawned these big fish, watched the eggs hatch, do the whole thing, and then released them into the Coos Bay estuary and actually have named their fish. And, you know, to kind of look at it, this fish is going to come back.
That's
this
right.
is such great hands-on stuff.
Yeah, but they named it dinner.
Yeah, it could be. But Representative Frederick, what's so important to me is that we do bridge this rural-urban perception of a divide. And what better way to do it than provide classroom instruction? Safari Club International has an incredible send a teacher to a summer annual training session, and then those teachers go back to our classrooms, and they want inner-city teachers. This is who they're looking for. We just haven't had the financial capabilities in Oregon to really engage a lot of these programs, educational programs. Our natural history should be as important to us as civics or anything else, because that's actually these are fabrics of society. So I'm humbled by a lot that goes on in this building, but this is just crucially important to the future of conservation and wildlife and our society in Oregon. This bill is good.
Representative Frederick, I want to thank you very much for that very eloquent statement. And I could not have expressed better than you did. A picture's worth a thousand words. You know, for me, simplistically, the notion of public relations media, advertising, it's important. But I never knew how important until I actually saw firsthand the job that the state of Michigan has done. I can tell you that that film made me want to grab a fly rod on the spot. It was that well done, that well done. Representative McEwen, then Representative Esquivel.
Chair Witt, I'm going to be very brief, but I want to first commend you for a concept that I think has tremendous value. But I also want to comment to Representative Frederick. This door swings two ways, and we have children that grow up in our communities who have never been to a city.
Welcome.
If you put them on a bus and bring them to Portland for a college fair or something, they have a discomfort. They don't. We have not promoted the door swinging that other way either. So we have work to do on both sides of this issue.
And to address that a little bit, you know, when I first went to Marshfield to teach a math class, we had a program at the beginning of the day. It was called your homeroom thing. And we talked and we had conversations with our kids. And I posed the question one time, how many people have been to the beach? Well, we started out with Eugene, and there were a lot of kids that had never been to Eugene. And this is middle ninth grade. I got down to how many people in his class have never been to the ocean? And three hands came up. Because, like inner cities, many of our families are really poor. And if you live up the river on a farm, your parents don't take time out necessarily to go to the beach. So they'd never seen the ocean, and they lived 25, and they lived in the community their whole lives. I know that happens in the urban areas about different parts of the cities, that how many people have been to the art museum or the other opportunities, and some of those kids in the same room would say they'd never been there. We have to recognize that this is exactly what Senator McEwen is saying. It is shocking how little sometimes, even in our own communities, they have an opportunity to get out, because poverty is a big thing. Giving these informational things, is helpful to all of us to recognize what we have in this precious state.
Representative Esquivel.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McEwen basically said what I was thinking, that, you know, this is only half the trip. Let's get the other half, some sort of a plan to do the other half as well. Because no matter what we do, I don't understand what goes on in Portland, just like the people in Portland don't understand what goes on in rural Oregon. So it's something we need to work on.
Mr. Chair, I just want to mention that one of my favorite experiences in this building, or connected with this building, was a chance that I got with Representative Sherry Springer, who came to visit my district, which is the smallest district in the state because it's so concentrated in terms of people. And I went to visit hers, and I got a chance to see Lebanon and the Frank Mill and number and Sile. And get a sense of what was going on there. You're right. We need to have this exchange that needs to take place. We no longer have the kind of media that used to help with that exchange, and that's an important factor we need to understand. So any extra effort that we might have via this particular program breaks through that media divide that takes place, because I have found people who from the rest of the state who believe we're having all sorts of disasters taking place every day in Portland, and you know, people running down the streets with Uzis and stuff like that, because the only thing that they see is what they see in the media. And so we'll have to figure out how we get not just this program underway, but also some of those interactions. And I'll bring some folks up from Medford, and they can get a chance to see what Portland's about.
I've invited you to come down and fly fish.
Oh, hey,
so
listen.
I expect an invite back.
Okay, absolutely.
And to that, you know, I would invite you to come in the fall.
Yes.
Coming up pretty soon. The fish that were named by those kids 3 years ago will be coming back to our bay. We want to catch them all, because this isn't our goal. These are not fish. These are not the fish that we want the wild fish to go up the river. We're going to get them in our hatcheries. We're going to use them again. We don't catch them all. Some of them get away. But we have a fishery in Coos Bay now because of the work that these kids have done, where our bay fills up with boats, and it's a lot safer than being out in the ocean trying to catch a salmon. And there are people, families, sitting on our dikes along the bay, casting off into the ocean and catching fish from the land. And it's an amazing thing to see. And I would encourage you to think about a time, give me a call. I would love to have you come to this bay and catch a salmon
we'll
off the beach.
Okay.
Vice Chair McLean.
We want to pass this, so I'm going to make my...
Oh, sorry.
I want to make this really short, but you guys made me smile because I've been lucky enough to live both in the rural areas and in the urban areas, so I've had both experiences. And I was so excited in eighth grade because I lived on a farm, and my English teacher was upset because the town kids didn't understand crops, didn't understand livestock, so she made us all take tests. And I was the only one in the class that got an A on the different types of livestock that were both sheep and swine and also the dairy cows. And I got every single one of them right and got an A. Nobody else did. And it was going so well that I told her she had forgotten something. We needed to do wheat and all the kinds of grains, and we also needed to do soil. So
that's
she
right.
Let me put the test together, and we gave it, and I got A's on that one, too. And the other kids got really interested. They wanted to understand the differences in soil. And so she made the science teacher add a few things in their lessons that week that would talk about the different types of soil.
And we've had big fights over soil naming in this state.
Yeah.
we ended up with Jory, but, you know, it's okay. And if people don't know what Jory soil is, they should go read about it and understand the other 13 or 14 distinct soils that we have in our state. So I commend you on that conversation.
Well, gentlemen, it's the enthusiasm, the excitement about an education council for ODF&W is palpable. That excitement, that enthusiasm has been generalized over each of the work groups, and it's just been tremendous. This is the beginning of some great things for that department, and we have both of you and a lot of other Oregonians who've given a lot of their time to thank for these efforts. Thank you both very, very much. Truly appreciated. Senator, your enthusiasm is palpable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3529. And committee members, I believe, Chuck, we have the necessary paperwork to move each of these three bills at this point to their respective homes. The next step? Okay. Very good. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2402. And again, just to remind people, Chuck, this is the task force.
This is the task force bill, yes.
On the State Department of Fish and Wildlife. Committee members, before I recognize Vice Chair Krieger, any questions or comments? Vice Chair Krieger, please.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2402 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and its bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves House Bill 2402 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there discussion on his motion? Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Moretto.
Aye.
Representative Hasselhoff.
Aye.
Representative Frederick.
Yes.
Representative Gorsuch.
Yes.
Representative McEwen.
Yes.
Representative Woodside.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Vice Chair McLean.
Aye.
Chair Witt.
Aye. Motion passes, and the bill is on its way to the Committee on Ways and Means. Thank you very much. Next one up is... House Bill 2182.
Can we stand at ease for just a second?
Stand at ease for a moment?
Yeah.
I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2182. Mr. Gallagher, remind us again which one in the trio this one is.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2182 would require the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to study developing statewide predator management plan approach. Requires ODFW to present a report on that to the interim committee of the Legislative Assembly related to environment and natural resources on or before September 15, 2016.
Thank you very much. Anything before I recognize Vice Chair Krieger? Please, sir.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2182 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Krieger moves House Bill 2182 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on his motion? Seeing none, hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Moreto.
Aye.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Frederick.
Aye.
Representative Gorsuch.
Yes.
Representative McEwen.
Aye.
Representative Woodson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain.
Aye.
Chair Whip.
Aye. Having received the majority, the motion passes. Representative Barreto, this is an area that I think a lot of folks in your constituency have an interest in. Is this a bill that you would like to carry?
I would love to.
Thank you very much.
I think lions and tigers.
With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2182. And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3529. Mr. Gallagher.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3529 establishes the Wildlife Public Education Advisory Council within the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and requires council to advise and make recommendations to the ODFW director regarding media-based public education.
Thank you very much. Any discussion? Representative Barreto?
Is this just an advisory council to discuss the idea of creating a surcharge, or is this actually creating the surcharge? Because one of the concerns I had, I mean, I think this is a great, great thing, but one of the concerns I had was Senator Roblin mentioning that some of these poor kids never make it to the ocean.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people that out in my district that are discussing the cost of fishing licenses, hunting licenses, tags, and saying, you know, they're getting to the point where it's not affordable. And so my concern is that we just last week, I think we passed another bill to for a dollar surcharge to fund these lakes with big trout. And so my concern is if it continues going this way, then we're going to inhibit some people from being able to enjoy this. So.
Yes, and the answer to your question is the bill does create both. It does create the surcharge as well as the task force. Representative McLean. McEwen, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chair Witt. Actually, Representative Barreto just made my speech. I think this is a fantastic program. We had a long talk in Coastal Caucus this morning, and I'm getting a lot of conversation around the proposed fee increases that ODFW is bringing, and we have passed one surcharge already. I think what I would like to do, Chair Witt, is I will give this a courtesy vote out of committee, but I do have concern about kind of the layering of surcharges and the fee increases that are being proposed, and I'd like to have a more comprehensive discussion about that, although I fully support this program.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much, Representative Esquivel.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with my colleagues. I believe 6 years ago we gave ODF&W a 40% increase in fees, and now they're back at the trough again wanting a 26% increase in fees plus these on top of it. So I have some grave concerns about that organization and that department. And I will give this a courtesy vote as well. But I think it's something that not only we need, but it's necessary. But what bothers me is that I don't see anything on the other end where we're going to either cut back or we're going to make accountability or something. It's just, well, if we run into trouble, let's just raise the fees. Let's just raise the fees. We've got to get away from that mentality as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you very much. And committee members, before we take a vote on this, just know that it's going to have to go to Ways and Means, and so a further discussion on the fees can and will be had there as well. I'm sorry, do we have
Thank
someone?
You. Yes.
Representative Witsit?
I echo all of my colleagues' comments. I have heard innumerable comments and emails from my constituency who are extremely unhappy with the increases constantly on their fishing licenses and hunting licenses. And while I agree this is a good program, I'm a no on this. I just think that Ways and Means is loaded with, I sit on that committee with full Ways and Means, with bills, and I don't think it's going to get a further good discussion. So I am a no on this for that reason only.
Okay, thank you. Vice Chair Krieger?
got, I think, three bills or four bills that are going to have surcharges. Why are we having to do it? Because the leadership within the Department of Fish and Wildlife over the last two decades has not brought the agency forward, and we've had declining participation. Now we're trying to find a way to fund things, Pure Michigan idea, things like that, to get people back into the fold of participation and a broader support for the agency. I don't see any other way of making that happen. And so, do I like surcharges? I surely don't. But I think these will be the dollars that will go directly over time to improving opportunity for Oregonians to participate. And if we don't do that, you'll see this department continue to decline.
Thank you very much, Representative Gorsuch.
I certainly agree with everything that's been said, but I think we do need to go back to that revenue committee, and we do need to think about picking up the people who are essentially free riders. They go out, they enjoy the woods, they like to see wildlife, but they don't pay for it. And I think if we could pick up something from that piece, it would help us a lot. Otherwise, I think Representative Krieger's right. You have to do fees or you can't support the program. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm having trouble running the show here with people having to run in and out of the room to other hearings. Did I lose Tom Wolf again? Okay.
I got about 4 minutes.
With that, I'm going to ask that Zach Widener come up and say just a couple of brief words. Normally, I'd have it under public testimony, but I'm trying to hold it where we can get everyone in here at the same time. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you, Chair Witt, members of the committee. For the record, Zach Widener, Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. I'm also an Oregon resident, and I'll be real brief here and just elaborate a little bit more on what Colorado's done that's very similar to this. By passing this bill, Oregon will be joining Colorado and Michigan and potentially Nevada, states who've established educational wildlife advisory councils. Colorado in particular, as theirs was created in 1998, has provided an excellent example of what one of these councils might look like with their Hug a Hunter and Hug an Angler programs. These programs in Colorado use contemporary public relations and marketing techniques with input from the sportsmen's and conservation community, as well as Colorado Department of Parks and Wildlife and other stakeholder groups. And they produce some really great educational materials and TV and radio ads and things of that nature, which better educate the general public on programs that the department provides, as well as the critical contributions of sportsmen and women. And I would just urge anyone unfamiliar with that program to visit the website hugahunter.com, and you can learn a little bit more and just check out some of the excellent public education pieces that they produced over the years. With that said, Congressional Sportsman's Foundation supports House Bill 3529 and urges your support as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tom?
Chair Witt, committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolf, the executive director of the Oregon Council of Travel and Liberty. I apologize for not being in the room earlier, but I got trapped in a panel behind someone who doesn't understand the concept of short testimony. So I apologize for not being here early. Travel and Liberty supports HB 3529. My testimony in support of this is on. I just want to share a short story. I was really fortunate to have a grandfather and a father who loved to hunt and fish, and they taught me how to fish. And I remember at the age of six, when somebody in this room was probably a senior in high school, fishing for smelt in the Canicum River and jigging with jigs down there and catching smelt and off bridges that I thought really were high back when I was 6 years old, but now seem rather short when I drive over those bridges. So I'm really blessed by having those people in my life that taught me about the sports, and now I live. You know, back then I had one little fishing rod. I now own 23. Times have changed, but my bank account. Anyway, this is a great bill because I'm really saddened by the kids that don't understand how great it is to be out hunting and fishing and viewing wildlife. It's awesome. I think this is a great bill. I, too, am worried about the license surcharge, but there has to be another way we can figure out how to fund this concept. It needs to move forward. You have Trout Unlimited and my personal support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And with that, we've run out of time. Gentlemen, appreciate your testimony. I'm going to recess the work session on House Bill 3529 until this evening. Before we adjourn, I'm going to announce that all bills on today's agenda for public hearing work session or possible public hearing and work session that have not moved out of our committee this morning are carried over to this evening. With that, we stand adjourned. Thank you all very, very much. Appreciate it. Very, very much appreciated.